Thursday night.
Okay.
The Buccaneers become the first team in NFL history to allow 450 yards of offense or more, lose the turnover margin by at least three turnovers, draw 100 yards in penalties, and still win the football game. Yo.
I'm telling you, we're just basing this performance defensively on what we saw here last year. And while we did see turnovers here, and then offensively, you only had the one turnover, and it was a drop from CD. And you're like, man, this team, you're encouraged about what you're seeing. You can't be encouraged by, again, leaving all those points on the field and not taking advantage of that win. Because, again, you're going to go into a game where you are heavily favored and you're not going to play well and you're going to lose it. And just to kind of make up that stagger, they offered this thing to you right up. They grab Simba and put him up to the sky and just said, take it. Take it. Here, it's yours.
Is it only because it's the Bucs that we feel this optimism?
I think
like
so.
If all this was in Jacksonville against the Jags, we'd be freaking out, right?
I think you're right. Because
hey, if all this was Minnesota or Pittsburgh, we wouldn't be as encouraged, but this is because these are the big, bad Buccaneers.
And I think the thought process was you expected to lose that game on the road on opening night anyway. So if you have some encouraging things that came out of that game and you lost it anyway, you know, you're not freaking out. But then at home against Philadelphia, what if you lose that game?
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, so...
Well, if you had some field Chargers right. this weekend.
And I think that's a real big possibility. I think a lot of people are just kind of chewing this thing away like this is supposed to be a win for Dallas. And, man, I'm not in that camp. Not as of yet, just right now.
I think the biggest mistake we make as this massive group of game pickers and handicappers is we remember last week too well. We remember a team that looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, they're going to look really good for 17 weeks.
Or just play the same way, or you're going to get better, because if that's game one, whew, by game seven, this thing is going to be cooking with fish grease.
I agree.
And that's not the case, because it's a game-by-game basis in the NFL. All the teams that played poorly this week could turn around and find their footing and play well next week. Green Bay, you expect Green Bay to put out the same performance next this coming up Sunday like they did last Sunday?
Yeah, but they're playing a team from the MAC this weekend.
Right, yeah, I know. So it's just, again, meat on the bone, and they left a ton of it. And while you feel great about some aspects, you have to be disappointed that that game was there for the taking and the Cowboys didn't take advantage. Now, you had some disadvantages last week because you didn't have your all-pro guard in the lineup on the offensive line, and the offensive line seemed to hold up pretty well without him. And now he's back, Zach Martin. And then you get the news that Lyle Collins has been suspended for five games. So you get one person back, you take another key member off of that offensive line.
Now, DJ had the news that the Cowboys believe Terrence Steele is going to start at right tackle?
That's what Jerry Jones said this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's fact. What option was Terrence Steele for you, Donovan?
I think they only had a couple of options, and that was probably option number two, because what we saw last year of Zach Martin kicking out to right tackle and McGovern playing guard seemed to work pretty well. And I think as an organization and as a head coach, you would probably lean toward your all-pro and ask him what he would prefer. Now,
mm-hmm.
You take that into consideration, and then you try to do what's best for the team.
Well, if Terrence Steele's the backup tackle on this team, why did we sign Nasiki?
And I don't think he's well, right? I don't think he's healthy.
Apparently was consideration for this week. And my next question to you then becomes, will this be the five best offensive linemen you can put on the field Sunday?
And I think that's the dilemma that the coaching staff will have, and to try to get the best out of this team is, do you put your best five out there or put your all-pro guy out in the most comfortable spot he's in? And Zach Martin is way more comfortable at right guard than he would be at right tackle.
I fully agree with you, and I fully concur that Martin would rather play right guard. But we are talking, potentially, 5 weeks here.
Mm-hmm.
For 5 weeks, I mean, no offense to Terrence Steele, but if I'm asked the question, who's the better football player, Connor McGovern or Terrence Steele?
Oh, I don't think that's any offense to him. I think that's just the truth.
Who's the better right tackle, Zach Martin or Terrence Steele? Zach Martin. So my thought is, I guess this is bowing to Zach Martin.
Probably. And I think if Terrence Steele is getting trucked in this game, that the adjustment will be made to kick him out, Zach Martin, right tackle, and put Connor McGovern in at right guard. Yeah, if he's just getting run over, then they will make that adjustment. But, you know, they see him every single day, and he had all that experience last year in starting and taking his lumps and looking bad at times and looking okay at times. So they just – you're right. It's bowing down to Zach Martin. And I think – I'm going to say the majority of the coaches would do the same thing.
I think you're right.
The same thing, what? Steele?
Yes. Steele at right tackle and Martin at right guard.
Assuming Martin is in there saying,
I want to play right guard. Yes. If you're asking me my preference, then I want to line up where I'm comfortable lining up.
Hmm.
And, you know, he's played tackle in college and he played it for those few games. And still, if you're going to ask him his opinion, you know exactly what he's going to say. Now, I don't think he's going to protest and take his ball and go home if they say, you know what, we would rather you play right tackle because that's best for the team. I think he's a team guy and he would do it. But that Terrence Steele starting at right tackle doesn't surprise me a bit.
Well, it does me a little bit. If they weren't going to start Martin, I thought they'd start Nasiki, but... Hey, like you said, they see everybody every day. Now, the other things that aren't being talked about while Lael Collins is being talked about. Michael Gallup gone 3 to 5 weeks.
And I may be wrong about this, but I feel that that's one that you can handle. While I really like Gallup, and I think he's a fine player, and he's a better player than Cedric Wilson, I think Cedric Wilson is more than capable of filling in and being a guy that could go out there and perform.
You know, this is fantastic for Cedric Wilson. He's free at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Gallup has already proven his worth in the public eye. The public hasn't seen much of Ced Wilson. If Ced Wilson over the next 5 weeks catches 20 passes for 220 yards and 3 touchdowns, whoa, does the value go up in the marketplace?
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. And I think they'll be okay with CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper getting the attention. He may shine a little bit, and that's fine. Noah Brown, I think he's more than capable of going in and spelling and catching a couple passes. So I think they're fine at the wide receiver spot. Now, Randy Gregory being put on the COVID list, and now he may not be available for Sunday. Now, he has no symptoms, and he's vaccinated. So there's a possibility that if he returns 2 negative tests in 24 hours, then maybe he can be available on Sunday.
This was, I believe, the same situation as Zach Martin, other than Martin had some small symptoms.
Yeah, I think Gregory is the first one on the COVID list that's asymptomatic, like none.
I'm going to guess that Gregory plays, just from the first reports on this. I'm going to guess he plays.
And they need him.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're going to ask me and wait, Cedric Wilson with Gallup or Gregory being out, I think Gregory is the more one on this team that they'll feel the most. Because if you have Lawrence on one side getting all the attention, what other person on the other side scares you one bit? Rushing
that's
the
passer. That's my
answer. Oh, yeah. Why are you looking at your watch?
It's no offense to Durant Armstrong.
Sure,
Or any of the others, but though Gregory didn't have much of a game from what I could tell in Tampa, he's still a guy who has the potential, boy, I hate that word, the potential to be a really good pass rusher.
You know what it feels like to me? It's like McCarthy, and this could be the death of, not the death of him, but the death of his job around here, is that he's not the one to rattle cages. He's not the guy that's going to put his foot down and say, we are doing this. He doesn't have that in him. He will lean towards his assistants and his players that will say, all right, what should we do? Well, let's do this. All right, I trust you. Let's do it. Like, it's the whole Bones fossil effect to me. Like, Bones can talk him into doing anything, and he won't say no.
Well,
and if Zach Martin, he asked him, okay, you know what? Where would you like to play? And he says, I would much rather be at guard. And McCarthy's like, you know what? Okay.
If you're going to delegate to Kellen Moore and to Dan Quinn and to Bones Fossil, and then they're going to delegate to the people under them, what does McCarthy's role become? It becomes inspirational leader. You're at the head of this organization, at least the football team, and your job is to get the troops fired.
But he doesn't seem like a rah-rah type of guy either, though.
That's exactly where I was going with you. He doesn't to me either.
He doesn't rattle cages. He's not a rah-rah guy. Like, you would feel that his job is to run the offense. He was a play caller in Green Bay, and that offense was very efficient. And now he handed over those duties, so he's just kind of around chilling?
He's around chilling.
No, he's not doing that. But you would think that time he's not calling plays would be to oversee everything. And I don't know, he may be in the headsets overruling everything. Like, nope, we're not running that defense. Do that. Put those linebackers in. Do this. No, run this formation. We're going to do this. But it doesn't feel like that's what he does.
Did you see the note that Dak Prescott audibled out of about half the plays last weekend?
Yeah.
Good.
Great.
Good. He's the man who's about to get the ball. If he sees something, run with it.
And they had over 450 yards of offense. So
he's been in this league long enough.
Sure.
That if you got a quarterback who started for you for 4 years and he doesn't recognize things at the line of scrimmage, draft somebody, baby.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true.
And one last quick note. Did you see that the Cowboys quietly added a kicker to the practice squad?
I did.
Larim Hajrilawu, I think.
Zerline is on All right, bro.
Notice?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't he be?
I agree.
Missed extra point, couple of missed field goals, and even the ones he made were all left and a little tight, except for the last one where he just nailed down the middle.
But. And by the way, the kickoffs weren't all that good. And our coverage teams weren't all that good.
No. Mm-hmm.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.